Again, Heartland Energy Group, HEGP, Tom Brennan, and thank you, Tom. We're going to follow now with Dale Golden, and you know, along our along the lines of alternative fuels and energy being in the spotlight and in front of the speech tonight. And Dale is from a private company called Solar Direct. Dale, are you there?
I am, yes, sir.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. You know, it's funny. We spoke for a couple minutes, and I try to screen everybody before I come on because sometimes, you know, I'll ask a long-winded question like I intend to do, covering several subjects, and sometimes the answer comes back, and it's a two-word answer, and then, you know, I have to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my show. But in your case, I don't think we're going to have that issue. You're very articulate and understand the space well.
Great. So I guess I passed the test, huh?
You did. Glad to have you on. But you know, one of the interesting things you said was that it things have been in the closet. You know, they've been hidden for so long, and all of a sudden, you know, everything's green. It's in the spotlight again. I actually stole one of your quotes, you know, talking earlier. I'd like to, you know, have your input. You could talk a little bit about Solar Direct, and of course, your website is www.theenergysupermarket.com, which Chris will run in the background. But Dale, give us a little bit of input and your thoughts here.
Sure. Well, I guess the first overlying comment would be to say that, you know, what's happening has been a long time coming. You know, our country is the primary consumer of energy, or certainly one of them. I think 25% of the world's energy is consumed right here in the United States, and we're far behind European countries and other countries in the world in terms of having not signed on to the Kyoto Protocol and not having a focus on renewable energy. So we're playing catch-up in the short term here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like that you have some specific expertise in rebates, tax credits, and other incentives. And I mean, I think that's tremendously misunderstood. I think, you know, it's intended to do one thing, it does another. I think with all the credits and rebates and incentives, sometimes it gets taken advantage of. I mean, how would you describe the rebate, tax credit, and incentive area to the listeners?
Well, I think, first of all, one of the problems with it being so muddy for people to understand is the fact that it seems like on the federal level, whenever they get involved in, you know, different programs and subsidies, they fund them, they set up the logistics for being able to do it, but they don't really promote it. Where on the state level, when they do, you know, rebate programs, like you hear Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about all the programs out in California, the states actively promote their subsidy programs. So basically right now, the things that are available, there are 23, I believe, now states numbered in the United States that have what are called renewable portfolio standards. And this is where a state would project some future date and percentage of their energy to be produced by renewable energy. And to support those renewable portfolio standards, they have different rebate programs and net metering programs and mandates for the utility companies to pay subsidies and low-interest loans, and then there are grants and tax credits. On the federal level, you have basically two separate areas of tax incentives. Now, these are tax credits, so these are dollar-for-dollar credits against taxes owed opposed to a deduction, so it actually impacts you for the dollar amount. So for residential expenditures for renewable energy right now, it's 30% of the cost of the product or installation, and those would be primarily solar water heating and solar electric systems, and then some specialized products like tankless water heaters and other things. And so you would have a 30% federal tax credit. So if you bought an item that cost $6,000 installed, you'd get 30% of that directly off of your tax bill, so it would be added to your refund amount, or it would go against taxes owed. That's dollar-for-dollar credit. And that's capped at $2,000 per technology right now. There is current legislation in front of the House to extend that tax credit bill through the, actually it's passed the House and gone to the Senate, to extend that to 2016, so another 10 more years for that. On the commercial side, on the business side, it's a 30% federal tax credit with no cap. So if a company, and you hear all these corporations now going green and doing these things, if you were a Whole Foods grocery store and you spent $100,000 on a solar electric system to provide energy for your store, 30% of that or $30,000 with no cap would directly come off of the corporation or company's tax liabilities.
Do you expect, I mean, I don't want to get into a political discussion. I think that kind of, you know, goes nowhere. But
absolutely.
But, I mean, do you have any, as an expert in the industry, do you have any expectation relative to, you know, what, you know, the any changes that we can expect in the political environment?
Well, you know, obviously the I guess Republicans have been somewhat tagged with, you know, being pro-business and pro-oil, and the Democrats have been somewhat tagged with pro, you know, environmental and pro-renewable energy. I'm not sure that that's entirely true across the board. The one great thing that's happening in the current change is that, you know, we're beginning to have an apolitical environment, a nonpartisan environment where, you know, Republicans are wanting to vote and put in to effect legislation that benefits the masses, and of course Democrats as well. So I think we're getting into an apolitical environment, and regardless of the, you know, leanings of the current administration, it's the power of the people that will dictate the direction that we're going in. And as I say, these are things that are a long time coming. You know, global warming, I'm beginning to see things now published online and in the newspapers that, you know, last week they said global warming was a controversy, and today's MSNBC says that, you know, that global warming and the warming trends are going to get worse and be seen, you know, around the world by everybody. So, you know, how could it not exist a week ago and now all of a sudden it's getting worse? So I really think people are beginning to focus on the truth, and it's definitely a nonpartisan and apolitical movement, which it should be.
Now, will you see, I mean, will you see an increased number of hits tonight on your site, and will you, I mean, will that reflect to your bottom line? I mean, it's so clearly in the news, and I mean, does that translate for you dollar-wise?
Well, yeah, we're sure that it will and does. I mean, all this really has evolved over the last, you know, year or so. Obviously, the Middle Eastern conflict and our concern about being dependent upon foreign oils has been a focus, and then along came, you know, the convenient truth about global warming, Al Gore's movie, and now the federal tax credit program starting last July. So this has been building, and we at one time had, you know, had minimal web traffic. We've been asleep for about 25 years, but now, you know, we have about sometimes 6,000 to 8,000 unique visitors coming to our website every day, and we're seeing the dollars showing up on the bottom line with people not just thinking about it, but, you know, putting their pocketbooks where their mouths are.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Al Gore, that was one of the best PowerPoint presentations I've ever seen on the big screen. What an interesting movie. But, you know, there's just in terms of alternative energy, you know, you have, when you think about the areas that it breaks down, you have solar, you have wind, fuel cell, ethanol, biofuel. You know, do you interact with other alternative energy guys just to get, you know, in companies? I know you're private, and I don't know if you have any intention of going public. I didn't ask you that question. Not sure if that's in your plans, but really my question is pointed to, you know, is there commonality among the, you know, the brethren of the industry, or do you just focus strictly on your business and units?
Well, we actually offer 350 environmentally friendly technologies on our website. And I heard another company earlier that focuses on, you know, solar lighting, and we cover everything from cost-effective and environmentally friendly ways to heat your swimming pool, heat your hot water, heat your home, produce electricity, produce light. So we actually engineer large projects. We're working on a upscale condominium project right now in the Turks and Caicos in our engineering department, and we will actually not only design the equipment, but to perform on-site project management. And in terms of our relationship to the other product technologies and other technologies in the industry, we keep a very open mind. And really right now, I think the thing that's going on that really needs to go on is there's seemingly been a disconnect between people who are in the, you know, field of green building, both commercially and residentially. In commercial, they're referred to as LEED certified buildings that have to meet a certain standard, and the renewable energy industry, when in fact we're all part of the same movement. The whole green building industry, right at the top of their, you know, pyramid is the energy portion. So if you're going to build a home or build a business or remodel a home or a business, energy needs to be the first concern. And then, of course, you look at all the environmentally friendly and life cycle costed and friendly environmental products for your health and sustainability in those, in the home. So we're now seeing a marriage of green building and renewable energy technologies, which should have, again, taken place before. And we're seeing that more now than we ever have in the future. And we're helping to foster that relationship. So we're very definitely open-minded as to a lot of other technologies. I think what a customer or a potential customer needs to see is the, you know, difference between an experimental technology, which sometimes causes a lot of traffic to come to us. You know, people who are dreaming about, you know, having a hydrogen power plant in their house that may be, you know, several years away from being market ready. And, you know, so they call us because they saw something on TV. Right. So to some extent, that can be a distraction for us. But I guess if you don't dream first, you'll never get to the practicality of it all. So we welcome any inquiry from anyone.
So if we went into the Golden Homestead, would we find it, you know, chock full of solar energy, you know, panels and solar energy heated water, and with the latest technology?
Well, currently at my age and station in life, with my children all raised and out of the home, I'm a Florida condo dweller, and of course, you know, I try to impart much of my knowledge and experience to the condominium association so that they can make good choices for pool heating and energy related matters. But being in a condo environment, it's somewhat controlled as to, you know, since the building already existed, as to what I can do. But years ago, when I was younger and had family and had my own home, yes, we were obviously examples for the community as to the things that we could do with how we heated our pool and how we heated our hot water and how we space heated and cooled our house. We used all of the cutting edge technologies that allowed us to live in a neighborhood where everybody had a $150 to $250 utility bill, and ours was $50, and we lived just as well or better than everyone else.
Sure. Well, Dale, thank you so much. I'd love to have you back on. Great, articulate, very well spoken, and a true understanding of a noble area.
Well, keep up the talk. It's good for everybody.
Good. Well, thank you very much, and I'll speak to you soon.
Great. Bye now.
Okay. That was Dale Golden, and he has a private company. The name of the company is Solar Direct. You can go to his website at www.theenergysupermarket.com. And again, we've talked to a bunch of alternative energy companies. We're going to go to break in about a few seconds here. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'll see you back at 4. This is Steve Cannibal from Market News First, news you can trust. Stay with us.
This is Market News First, news you can trust.
Gang. Mike, the analyst here from Market News First with your Mike Rose Report update, as I do each and every day. I keep my finger on the pulse out there in the economy, and I keep my eye on some microcap stocks that you probably need to put your attention toward. Here's some things going on out there in the world. I've been telling you this is going to be a light week for economic data. Well, it's proving true, obviously, but there was one key piece of information that came out of the U.S. economy today: leading economic indicators. Now, this is kind of a compilation of all the economic data points that we watch week by week. So here's kind of this compilation number. In December, this index of leading economic indicators rose by 0.3%. That's basically forecasting some strong growth in the U.S. economy over the next few months. Now, that kind of falls in line with what we've been talking about over the last little while. So not an overly shocking report, but something that's out there to chew on nonetheless. Despite not having any other economic information out there in the world, people still find stuff to talk about. Today, what it's going to be mostly, obviously, the earnings season is well underway. The ones that are going to grab the spotlight today are Bank of America, DuPont, and Johnson & Johnson. Those guys will find it if they make, meet, or miss some of their earnings numbers as compared to the consensus expectations out there in the world. Also today, one of the big headlines out there in the world is that the Gap guy is gone. Yeah, GPS is the ticker symbol for Gap, and their CEO has parted ways with a nice cozy little $14 million severance package. So no wonder Gap's been languishing, right? They've had this guy at the helm for about 4 years, and when it's time for him to go away since he didn't do all that well, let's just give him $14 million. It's not the way I do things, but maybe Gap can get back on track with the next guy. We'll have to see. Now, as far as some of the microcap stocks I've got my eye on for you, RTG Ventures continues to astound the trading world in the microcaps. RTGV is the ticker symbol for these guys. Their price and volume both today are amazing. I've been talking about RTGV since it was around a penny. Today, doing much, much better than that. So keep an eye on RTGV and see where it goes from here. No news. That's kind of the spooky part about RTGV. This one's been doing all of this great price performance on no news out into the world. So kind of a secretive play, but we caught it around a penny. We'll see where it goes. MPRG is Motion Picture Group. These guys having some good follow-through. Yesterday, the stock was up by 73%. Today, doing well again on the heels of some of the things going on out in the Sundance Film Festival about some of the films that MPRG has a hand in. Also, Nutrition 21. Yeah, NXXI. Small cap stock over on the NASDAQ. These guys, one of their products has some proven good results against HIV. So a good headline coming out of NXXI for today. And another one, RHN Media, RHNA is the ticker symbol, RHNA. These guys have a good headline coming out today. Check out the price, check out the volume. This is what happens when you get some good research and some good coverage on your company. So anytime you guys need good research, good thorough following and reporting on your company, contact me, Mike the Analyst, as I'm the best researcher of microcap stocks in the world. So there you go, guys. There's a whole bunch of microcap stocks I'm watching, some economic information for you. I'll be checking in with you back from time to time. Until then, I'll talk to you next time. I'm Mike the Analyst with your Mike Rose Report update on MN1.com.
If you missed Chart Improv with Bob Leonard, then you missed
this baldy raw guga and guga and guga and accents. I hope your day's going well so far. Unlike mine, I've already spilled coffee on my leg. Because this, as we can see, is a microscopic view of a taste bud. Yummy.
Charts with a new perspective. Bob Leonard's Chart Improv. Live on MN1.com. 7 to 8 Central. Or get it on demand at MN1.com.
This is Market News First. News you can trust.
This is State of Emergency.
What you want me to do? I'm sorry. I'm back.
Hey, yes, I'm back. It's Andrew Coffey, and this is the Midday Update. Playing a little bit of Jay-Z. You know, you notice everywhere else you look on TV right now, they're talking about the Oscars. And, you know, here at Market News First, I guess we could sit there and talk about that, but that's not going to really do anything for you because everybody else is covering it. So if you want to get in touch with us and you got some stocks you want to, you know, throw out there and let us know about, what you can do is download Yahoo Instant Messenger and add MN1 Studio as a guest. If you're a new listener and you've just logged in, give us a shout, or you can call the number at the bottom of your screen, 866 number, and you can get in touch with us. Now, at quarter past the hour, we're going to have the boys from the CBOE calling in Option Monster, and we'll see what they have to say about what's going on in the market. Had a nice little down day, shook out all the shorts, and now the market is making a nice comeback at 73. It's up 73, and the NASDAQ's up 13. Let's take a look at some of the stocks that we're circling around on. First off, Apple, AAPL. Apple, as you know, is embroiled in that stock options thing, and they're up 52 cents, so they're making a nice comeback. It was a great head fake this morning, is what we saw. TXM came out with earnings today. That was Texas Instruments, up $1.31. That was kind of holding in there. Yesterday we had talked about, well, I didn't talk about it, but it was something on the options blog on that, but I'm sure maybe Pete or John will talk about that when we come back. Texas Instruments, almost at that 30 strike price, up $1.32. I talked about Texas Instruments last week, saw a great article about the new president there, young guy, and how Texas Instruments is working with their how should I say this? If you look at your computer right now, you have Windows and Intel. Now, this is a Toshiba computer, okay? And that's kind of what Intel does, INTC. Intel and Microsoft, they say, okay, you're working with us. We brand on your product, and we're all in together, you know, kumbaya, MFST. And that's one way of doing business. But Texas Instruments, their two biggest customers are Motorola, MOT, is $18.50 a share, down 22 cents. Motorola and Nokia, NOK, and that's up 22 cents. They basically say, you know, we'll put your chips inside of it. You can call it whatever you want, and they build their businesses that way. So anyway, TXN, which is Texas Instrument, came out with their earnings today, and that's up $1.33. Also today, earnings was SUNW, Sun Microsystems, up 2 cents. $5.73 a share. Okay. Let's take a look at Pacific Ethanol. We got the State of the Union address tonight, so a lot of these ethanol companies are running. PEIX up $1.12. We had talked about that last week, and surely we talked about it on Monday when it was at $16.36 a share, and the February 17 and Hazard were trading 75 by 80. If you want to participate in the option portion of this midday update, this coffee grinds, why don't you go out to optionmonster.com, fiddle around with the site, check it out. Hopefully in the future.